chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul's life is winding down and God's given him dying grace. But Paul, even in his last days, he still had a burden for lost people. He's given instruction to us and especially to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy. And he starts out by saying this, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." You know, that ought to strike fear in everybody's heart, oughtn't it? We're going to stand before God one day. He said to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We are in that day today. He said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. You can be seated. Father, we thank You again for this day, Lord, for Your mercy and grace, Lord, that You've overshadowed us, God, and let us be back in Your house once again. And Lord, we need Your help tonight, God. We pray, Lord, for Your anointing, God. And Lord, help us, God, in that You've showed us, God, and given us, Lord. And we'll be grateful, Lord, to give You all glory and all praise, for we love You and ask You in Jesus' name for Your blessings. Amen. I'm interested in Paul's writing right here in verse number 7, where he said, I fought a good fight, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Tonight I want to look at this thought, staying on course to finish right. You know, that ought to be every Christian's desire, to be right when we go out to meet God. And no doubt God has got a course for my life, and He's got a course for your life. And God, I believe, He wants us to be in the center of His will and following that course. Paul said, I have finished my course. God had a course for the Apostle Paul. When He called him on the Damascus Road from darkness to light, God called him to preach the glorious gospel. God set him on a course. Paul was faithful to that course. He faced many obstacles. He had many troubles, many heartbreaks, and many things, but he was faithful to that course that God set him on. And we ought to be careful in our lives to realize that we've been bought with a price. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And hey, you're not here today breathing His good air by accident. He's given you life today. And He's given you a choice today to serve Him. And it ought to be our desire in our lives today to find our course, find the will of God for our life, and get on it and stick to it. There's too many people today falling by the wayside. There's too many folks that was once on fire for God that's dropping out by the wayside. Hey, I challenge you tonight to be faithful until the end. I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. Boy, it'd be a great statement to be able to make, wouldn't it? When God gives us dying grace one day, I hope we can have that testimony in looking back at our life. Say, I stayed the course for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Psalms 37 and 23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, not saying that we're good, but the one living within us is good. And if we'll just stick with God, if we seek His face and let Him order our steps through life, I guarantee you He'll take you somewhere. And you won't have to go before Him one day and be ashamed of what you've lived in life. Psalms 119 and 133 says, order my steps in thy word. You want to know where your orders come from? Right here's a good place to start. You want to know what God wants you to do in life? Get in this book right here and feed off of it and seek His face, pray and apply and offer yourself to it. Let me tell you something. One of the biggest problems that, one of the biggest problems that I've had in my Christian life is not really, really offering myself to God in service. I'm just being honest with you. You know, this old flesh right here says, Lord, let somebody else do it. Amen? But God wants us to be in His Word, and He wants to order our steps. David said, order my steps in Thy Word. David said, open the Word to me. God, guide me through the Word of God. And He'll do exactly that in our lives. In Psalms 119:9, He says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to Thy Word. That's why it's so important to have young people in church. Amen? They need the Word of God ingrained in them from their youth on up. Listen, in 119 and 105, the Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if we're going to stay the course and finish this thing right, this Bible tells me that I need it. I need it to stay on course. There's some things, though, that I have a problem with. The Apostle Paul had a problem, too. In Romans chapter 7, he lays it out for us. A common problem with us is us. Amen? The biggest problem that I've got in the Christian life is me. We want to blame a lot of things on the devil, friend. Listen, most of the time my problem in my Christian walk, I said, is me. It's me. Paul said the things that I should be doing, I find myself not doing it. And the things that I shouldn't be doing, he said, I find myself doing those things. The things, he said, that I hate, that I do. That's a problem, isn't it? And it's a common problem. But we can have victory over our flesh. The flesh and the Spirit in Galatians tells us war against one another. But if we'll get filled with the Spirit, we can overcome the lust of the flesh. That's Bible. But the problem with us, most of the time, we're so caught up in the things of the world that we just forget about, you know, the Word of God, the ways of God, what God wants us to do in life. But we're just so carnally minded in the day that we live. Amen. We are. We got problems with self. And not only that, we've got problems with sin. Paul goes on in that chapter and he says, it's sin within me. Listen, we're carnal. We're flesh. And this flesh loves sin. Amen. And sin is a problem in the day in which we live. And it's something that we battle on a daily basis. As hard as we try, we cannot live above sin. If we were judged for the things that we've done today, or even the things that we should have done today, we'd come up short. Listen to me now. Sin is a problem. In 119 and 133 of Psalms, he said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity or any sin have dominion over me. See, there was a weakness in David's flesh. He prayed to God, dear God, don't let sin get a grip or get a hold in my life or some way that I just can't turn it loose. We better guard our hearts. Sin can get in a person's life and ruin your life. So we got a problem with self. We got a problem with sin. Jesus said in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many. He said not might wax cold, he said shall wax cold. Iniquity is abounding in the day. Sin is abounding in the day that we live. These young people that left out of here, they face things that in life that I didn't see when I was coming up. I'm telling you, our society is so depraved. And promoting darkness It's a disgrace, the place that America's at today and the leadership we've got in this country. Pitiful. Just tells me, though, that Jesus is soon to come. So, I see a problem with self. I see a problem with sin. I see a problem with Satan. And, you know, I dare say most of the time, self and sin is way above Satan. Most of the time, I don't think he has to even fool with us. We got so many problems with self and sin. But if we do purpose in our heart to serve God and overcome sin and overcome self, you can bet Satan's going to step in. He's going to try to send something in your life. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And let me tell you something. He's got many, many devices. Don't think you're stronger than him. He knows your weakness. He knows my weaknesses. And he's got many devices that he can come in our life and knock us off course. You better be on guard. You know your weakness. And I know my weaknesses. In 2 Timothy 3 and 13, he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Satan's got a lot of soldiers out working for him. And in this end times, over in chapter number 4 when Paul was speaking to Timothy, in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, I believe it is, he says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times many shall depart from the faith. Now listen, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's why you got so many crazy religions going on in the world today. The devil loves religion. He don't like salvation, though. That's why he's so antichrist. That's why there's so many antichrist religions in the world today. That's why so many people rejecting this King James Bible in the day that we live. Damnable doctrines. Listen to me. Not only self and sin and Satan and his devices, but things that can, I'm talking about things that'll get us off course in life. Also situations. You ever seen anybody just get fed up with things? Amen. And tend to want to blame God for it? You ever seen anybody hit some hard bumps in this road of life and think that God has turned on them? Paul, he had good reason to complain. He had good reason to drop out of the race if anybody ever did, but he didn't. If you look over in the book of 2 Corinthians, you'll find, let's just look over there a minute in 2 Corinthians. I want to read you what Paul went through right here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." 5 times they beat him with that cat of 9 tails, 39 stripes. He says, "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Wow. Now, he had a good reason to quit, didn't he? I wonder how long we'd stay the course if we had to face if we could just pick one of these things right here. I wonder if we'd stay in the race. Somebody strapped us to this post right here and hit us 39 times and tell us, "You better quit. Quit preaching this Christ." I wonder if we'd say no. I ain't quitting. They done it again and again and again and again, and he still didn't quit. He stayed the course. Paul, no doubt his back was scarred. Paul's back probably looked like a road map. Every stripe he suffered for Christ. Situations. A lot of Christian folks let a little situation come up in life. They blame God. Most of these kind of folks, I believe, just looking for an excuse to get out. But we have to watch the situations that arise in our life. God never promised us that the Christian life would be a bed of roses. Matter of fact, He promised us tribulation. Job said, man that's born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. And I find that to be true in life. There's troubles, ain't there? Too many folks trying to make heaven out of earth. It ain't going to happen. So I'm talking about staying on course to finish right. Now let's get back over to 2 Timothy right here in chapter number 4. And I'll touch on a few things here and we'll go to the house. I want you to notice some furnishings that God has given us here. Some things that are appointed. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Sounds like that's a very important thing, don't it? He's appointed Scripture to you and me. He's given us this book right here. All these words are the true sayings of God right here. And He says it's good for you. It's good for you. Any of y'all ever been to the doctor? He ever give you any medicine? Did you take it? Sometimes it tastes bad too, didn't it? You know, this word right here, sometimes I just don't like what it says, Brother Lee. It cuts. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of this old heart of mine right here. And so I need it. You know, I went to the doctor and he checked my blood pressure, said, you got high blood pressure. I'm going to give you some pills for it. You know what I did? Went to a drugstore and got the pills. And I could have said, I ain't taking that junk. Suffer the results for it. So he tells us right here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable to us. For doctrine, reproof, correction, and we do need correcting. For instruction in righteousness. So we see He has appointed Scripture in the furnishings that God has given to you and I that we might stay the course and finish right. And not only has He appointed the Scripture, He's appointed us as students. Now I know everybody in here thinks you know everything. Everybody thinks you've arrived. But we're still students. We'll be students till the day we die. He says right here, but continue thou in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice that. We're supposed to be learning. We're supposed to be teaching. Notice that he mentions a child, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Sounds like young Timothy was in a good home, don't it? Somebody in the home was teaching Timothy the Scriptures. Mamas and daddies. That's an important role in your life. Amen. Grandmas and grandpas. Scripture. Our children, our grandchildren ought to know where we stand in this Word of God. Sometimes when they need counseling, we need this Word of God to be able to counsel them right. Use it. Study it. We're students. God has appointed us students. Study it to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. That's a command to us. All right, let's move on. He's appointed Scripture to us. He's appointed us as students. Not only that, but He's appointed us stability, steadfastness, strength. He said in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants us to be stable in our Christian life. And without the Word of God, without an intake of the Word of God, without studying the Word of God, without being faithful to God's house, listen, we're going to be a mess. God wants us to be perfect. He wants us to be mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm talking about strong in the Christian walk, strong in the Bible knowledge. We ought to learn some things from this Word of God, be able to apply it in our lives and things that we face in life. We ought to be Scripture-filled. We ought to be Spirit-filled. Amen? These are things that ought to be coming to us. Instruction in the Scriptures, indwelling power of the Spirit of God, it ought to be a part of our life. You know, God saved me when I was 23 years old. And this right here has always been this has been an important part of my life. I don't understand people that claim to be Christians and, you know, they just don't act like it. The Word of God, it ought to be an integral part of a Christian's life. How can you put your faith in eternity in the hands of God and not want to know more about Him? Not only the furnishings, but notice this, the fight. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, let's back up just a little bit right here. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We're to be teachers. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier," as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what soldiers do? They fight, don't they? They're waiting on a fight. They're defending. Or they're moving in offense, or they're standing on defense. And Paul uses this word to this young preacher boy that he's a soldier. He said, endure the hardness that's going to come your way. Don't get knocked out. You're getting knocked down, but get up. Anybody ever got the feelings hurt? Huh? You can get your feelings hurt in church. Paul told this young preacher boy, you know, it's coming. You're going to have to endure some things. First of all, I see in these verses right here, we need to be tough, don't we? We need to be tough. We need to be humble. And yet at the same time, we need to be tough. We got to learn to stand against the wiles of the devil. And put on the whole armor of God, because He's coming after you if you live for Christ. Tough. In verse 2, He says we ought to be training another generation coming behind us. That's very important. I thank God for the old saints of God that I can look back to as a young Christian and see how they stood the test. They stood for the faith. They set an example. They taught Sunday school. They prayed in the Holy Ghost. And they had a burden for the church and the workings of God. They sacrifice for it. They run their race. They finish their course. They kept the faith. Not only that, but I see in this that there ought to be not only toughness and training, but togetherness. Togetherness. We're in this thing together. We're not against each other. We ought not to be backbiting one another. We ought not to be jealous and envious of one another. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken, don't it? If we'll allow God to bind our hearts together in love, one for another, there's no telling what we can do and accomplish as a church. Anytime there's opportunity, there'll be opposition. There is a warfare going on today, which we live. And we need to be on the offense, and we need to be on the defense. Amen? Not only the furnishings, the fight, but notice the friends right here. In this, back in chapter number 4 right here. The latter part of this thing right here. Paul had many companions as he went on his missionary journeys and as he established churches. And he had to have friends. Amen? We need friends. And I'm glad I've got some friends that I could depend on. But notice what Paul says in verse number 10. He says, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me, and look why. He said, having loved this present world. Having loved this present world. Boy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks in love with the world today. I remember preaching a message out of the book of James. And James chapter number 4. And I titled it, Married to Christ, but in Love with the World. Because he says in that book, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? That's something we better watch out for. Friends. You'll find here that Paul had a friend that had forsaken him. Boy, I'd hate to know that my name went down in the Word of God in that kind of statement, wouldn't you? And yet at the same time, God's keeping a record that He'll open one of these days. We don't need to forsake. Demas hath forsaken me. There's those that'll forsake you in life. Amen. Don't put a whole lot of confidence. I mean, it's good. It's wonderful to have friends. But don't put a whole lot of confidence in the arm of the flesh. I don't want you to put a whole lot of confidence in me. I might let you down. Amen. Our confidence better be in the Lord. You better be a praying for me. And I better be a praying for you. God's charged us to do that. Because we need each other praying one for another. The devil would love to ruin our lives. Friends, there'll be some that'll even turn from the faith. Looking back over 20 years in this ministry right here, there's been some folks that I thought would be here today. But they've turned back into the world. Amen. But that ain't going to cause me to turn out just because they did. I ain't going to let them drag me down with them. I'm glad that Paul said Demas hath forsaken me, but I like what he says on down a little bit further. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. All of them left him. But then, I'm glad there's a friend that will stick with you. Look what he says in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God will stick with you. The Lord Jesus will stick with you. Amen. I remember years ago, serving as a deacon in the church I was at, we had a deacon's meeting, which we didn't have a whole lot of them. And, you know, I arrived there probably 30 minutes early for some unknown reason, but God was in it, Brother Lee. And I thought, I went in and I sat down all by myself, and I had my Bible, and I thought, well, I'll read some. And I turned over to this passage of Scripture right here, and I began reading in chapter number 4. And when I got down to this verse number 17, I mean, it just jumped all over me, Brother Lee. The Holy Ghost illuminated that thing like He'd never done before. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that God may not lay it to their charge. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And it just kept burning in my heart. And then all the deacons came in and sat down and began talking about some of the business things of the church. And then before we closed, Brother Lee, one of them, he started clearing his voice. He said, Brother Mike, I said, yeah. He said, we got something we want to talk over with you. I said, yeah, what is it? He said, we want you to quit teaching out of the Bible. And I knew then why God had illuminated that passage of Scripture to me, that He was going to stand with me when all these men around that table was forsaking me and turning on me. All of them was looking at me, wanting me to say, okay, I'll quit using the Bible and I'll start using your little literature every Sunday. But you know what I said? I said, I ain't going to do it. I'm sticking with the Word of God. I said, I've looked at your literature. I find fault in it many times, and I don't like it. I'm going to use God's Word. They didn't let it in there. Next time we had a deacon's meeting, they jumped me again. You know what I told them? No. No. And I walked down there one Sunday morning before I pulled into the church yard. The Lord said, this is your last day here. So I went in and I resigned. Got no regrets. The one that stood with me then, he's still standing with me today. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back for nothing. No way. God's been good to me. The furnishings, the fight, the forsaking, but there's a finish. Paul said, I fought a good fight and I finished my course. We're all going to finish this thing one day. We're all going to go out and meet the Lord. Hope we don't have to hang our head in shame. Amen. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us.